Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. C-Notes coming up in 20 minutes. We'll give you the latest on the Cowboys and the news. And I think I'm going to look at draft-eligible quarterbacks in college. That's how I meant to phrase that. Draft-eligible quarterbacks going into this college season. There's a lot of interesting ones, a lot of good ones. And maybe we'll explore that idea as far as, you know, we were talking about yesterday with Joseph Hoyt at this time. At what point would the Cowboys, should the Cowboys escalate their prospecting on quarterbacks? You know, when they found Dak, they had just taken it up a notch from the Stephen McGee's of the world to, hey, let's spend a four on it, see what happens. And they nailed it. You know, right now they're moving sixth, seventh round type of stuff, looking for a guy. They have a solid dude in Sam Howell. You know, but would this spring, with this potentially legendary and historical draft class, prompt you to consider a day two pick?
You know, I was interested in what Joe kind of threw out during our conversation with him about, you know, is there a team that would be interested in Joe Milton? And would you throw out any compensatory, like a three, to go get Sorgsby in the supplemental draft? I mean, I think that that's something that I'd be interested in doing.
Broadus was saying a couple of days ago he's going to go watch that Sorsby tape.
We have.
All right. You watched it already?
Yeah.
Okay, let's pick this up.
Yeah.
Let's pick this up in like 20 minutes. Here's Woolchuck with your mixed bag.
Perfect. Let's shake it on up. That's going to be a fun Krusty's Corner.
Yeah.
Okay, now, in 40 minutes.
Yeah, 40 minutes. Congratulations to Mike Leach. He's officially under consideration for the College Football Hall of Fame class of 2027. Now, remember, we were doing those stories about it was the winning percentage.
Yeah.
And he didn't quite, him and Les Miles were both like just slightly the percentage to be eligible. Now, they adjusted it last May. So now will be the first cycle that Mike Leach is eligible for the College Football Hall of Fame. I'm assuming he's going to get in. I think that this would be certainly a big missed opportunity, and that'll be an awesome moment for him, for his family. Brett McMurphy reporting that. Tech, Washington State, Mississippi State coach. So that was good news to see today that that's officially now. He's eligible, and we'll get that voting underway.
The old posthumous award.
I know. It's sad. Now, Texas with the number one toughest schedule in all of college football. CBS Sports actually put out who does have the toughest schedules for CFP contenders. Now, this is following the spring ball practices. Oklahoma comes in at number two. So a couple of SEC teams right there. Texas is at one, OU at number two. Right now, the number of ranked opponents post-spring in the top 25s that are out now, they've got seven. Texas has eight because Texas has Ohio State on the schedule. Oklahoma does not. Now, Oklahoma does have Michigan on there, which will be a good non-conference matchup. Ohio State is at three. Michigan at four, Ole Miss at five, A&M at six, LSU at seven, the Trojans of USC at eight, Georgia at nine, and Bama at 10. So there's a theme.
How many SEC schools?
Right. You got one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Seven of the top 10 are all SEC schools. Yeah. There you go. It's a tough conference, huh?
Well, it's deep. It's not as top heavy as
Big Ten. The Big Ten might be better.
The best of the Big Ten is better than the SEC.
I think from top to bottom, the Big Ten might be.
Really?
Yeah, if you go all the way down.
Last year definitely was.
Yeah.
Last year was not a great year for the SEC. We'll see if that happens this year because you did have contenders like South Carolina that just weren't good last year.
Kentucky.
So hopefully they end up. Yep, Kentucky, 100%.
Yeah.
Now, we've got a new NBA mock draft, and we're getting closer now to the Mavericks selection there, and we also got to get a new head coach. I mean, what the hell is going to happen there? The Bucks and their trade talks with Giannis, the expectation is that will happen prior to the draft. Some reporters are like, NBA insiders, there's a 0% chance he's on the Bucks next year. So expect the trade talks with Giannis to heat up. And Orlando, reports are a team to look for in the Giannis sweepstakes.
Makes a ton of sense. He gets to stay in the East, which I think is what he wants to do. He understands the landscape in the East is a little bit easier. And now that he's got, I mean, Sean Sweeney was with him with Milwaukee, and now Sean Sweeney's the head coach with Orlando, so you have that connection as well. A lot of solid young talent. So that would make plenty of sense.
So the top picks, A.J. DeBonsa, the freshman from BYU, going number one in this mock, courtesy of The Ringer. And you got Darren Peterson going two to the Jazz. Mm. Cam Boozer from Duke, the forward. Going three to Memphis. Caleb Wilson, who some believe could end up being the best player out of this draft class, from North Carolina, goes four to the Bulls. Keaton Wagler, the guard from Illinois, goes fifth in this mock draft to the Clippers. Mykel Brown Jr. Ah, that's a bummer because I think that a lot of Maverick fans would like him, especially if that bat clears. But he ends up going sixth in this mock to Brooklyn. Darius Akef Jr., Arkansas, he's off the board. Goes 7 to Sacramento. Ade Mara, the Michigan big, goes to the Hawks at 8. And that leaves Kingston Flemings, who I've seen as a name that is circulating Mavs Twitter more and more here recently. It's him and it's Braden Burries from Arizona. But Kingston Flemings, the guard from Houston, at 6'2.5", 183. He's 19 years old. The write-up is the Mavs have cleaned house in their front office and coaching departments, and the new execs have carte blanche with how they proceed in the draft. With Kyrie likely maybe a trade candidate, the Mavs are in position to find them a point guard of the future. If he's still on the board, Flemings is the guy. Given his short wingspan, that doesn't really fit what Masai Ujiri's stereotype usually is, but Ujiri also likes pit bulls who get feisty at the point of attack. Think Fred VanVleet. And that is what Flemings can do. He also has outlier explosive traits. He's got a 40.5 vert, and he's arguably the best end-to-end speed guy in this draft when he has the ball in his hands.
Yeah, yeah, the speed jumped off the screen whenever you would watch Houston play. They listed him at 6'4", and then he goes to the combine, he's 6'2.5". I think the size factor, you mentioned the short wingspan. I think it's the shortest wingspan of all guards that are supposed to be first-round guards in this draft. Wow. I think that's going to work against him. I've seen that like in the interviews and stuff like that, like intangibles-wise, he's blowing people away, so maybe that can kind of help offset some of the concerns that they have with like the length and things like that. So I still think the size stuff is going to be something that, like, VanVleet was kind of a shot in the dark. Like, yeah. Undrafted, I'm not taking you with a top 10 pick.
Like at 30, right? With their pick, maybe I'd take a flyer on that,
right?
Not necessarily at 9.
I think Ujiri's going to emphasize wanting more size, more length. And when you look at this Western Conference Finals right now, two teams that you're going to have to go through if you're going to be contenders, they got big guards. Their guards are big. SGA is a big player. Jalen Williams is a big player. Dylan Harper, Stephon Castle, these are all like 6'4", 6'5 dudes.
What did his weight come in at?
I think it was 185.
Flemings?
185?
185. Yeah.
Man, that's surprising. Yeah. He looks 165. Must have a big upper leg situation
that
going
could
on
be.
Or something, because he is lean.
Flemings?
Yeah.
It's interesting, and he is roughly, I think it's 10 miles between his hometown and where Allen Iverson's. I think it's Hampton and Newport News.
Something's in the water.
Yeah. So if you're looking for areas that produce maybe smaller great players, just kind of throw that one out there. But yeah, I think it's roughly 9 miles apart between those two cities.
When I watched him, like, I understand he's fast. I didn't see the shiftiness side to side. You know, there's straight line speed, like I'm a bullet, I'm the fastest guy here. How shifty are you? How wide can you take it to one side and get to the other side of a defender? So when I watched him, I just wasn't impressed, you know, but I didn't watch the entire season of him. I haven't studied him that closely. I'm just trying to get a feeling on how I feel about him, and I would be disappointed right now if they took Kingston Flemings.
Let's move to a couple of G-Bag Nation. You make the calls here.
Just to be fair, Braden Burries is the guy that I think you want out of Arizona.
And Burries was available.
That sounds like the guy that my Gang of Seven or Gang of Three really likes.
Yeah, Burries is a guy that's been connected. I mean, earlier it was Mykel Brown Jr. Right now, as we get closer, it doesn't sound like he's going to be available at 9. If he is, maybe that's the pick. But the guy that does seem like he's going to be available and that's been linked to the Mavs is Burries.
Yeah, he's 6'4". He's got the wingspan. He's got the, I mean, he's like 215 pounds.
Plays defense.
Like
strong. Play, yeah,
more
yeah.
of a two guard, though, than a traditional point.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. But hopefully he could maybe grow into being a guy who could handle the ball for you a little bit more.
Yeah, and I like the idea of keeping Kyrie, so that wouldn't bother
me
at all.
Sure, at least in year one.
Absolutely. Let's do a G-Bag Nation. You make the call. I got two of these. We're going to start with a sport, then we'll get to just like, hey, is this fair or suitable? Bruce Cassidy. Former head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights. Boy, he's got to be sick to his stomach. Maybe not. Maybe he's happy for his guys. But he did win a Stanley Cup a few years back with Vegas. Then they fire him. They lost 6 of their last 7. They were 3-5-2. And then, boom, they say on March 29th, bye-bye Bruce Cassidy. They bring in John Tortorella. Well, now they look up and they're in the Stanley Cup final. But Bruce Cassidy is still under contract with the Vegas Golden Knights through the end of next year. So they still hold his rights, and there are several teams that have been reportedly interested in bringing him in to interview him as their new head coach. The Edmonton Oilers, the LA Kings, and the Vegas Golden Knights said no. Now, the Kings, obviously, divisional opponent, and the Oilers, also a team, divisional opponent. So I can kind of understand that, but here's Bruce Cassidy on the Spit and Chicklets podcast trying to make his case.
No, it's upsetting. I'm going to be honest, because once you're fired, you know, your contract's basically terminated. But the one thing people don't realize is all the deals, you know, they got the NHL bylaws, this and that, and I don't know everyone, but, you know, you have non-compete clauses. So I can't resign today and go work for someone tomorrow. I can't work until Vegas gives me permission until this contract's up, which is at the end of next season. So, you know, if you resign, all I do is not get paid. So, I mean, you know, I got
interesting.
To take care
of it. Vince brought that up. Yeah. I did. I said, can't you just forfeit your salary and say, hey, like, I don't need your money. I want to go get the bag from somebody else.
So it's not right that they can let you, right. They can let you go and then still stop you from working. That's where the bylaws are probably messed up a little bit.
Yeah. And like I said, those are in, I think, everybody's contract. So that is what it is. But you can't do that. And I think they do that probably because they wouldn't want a coach in the middle of the year to resign on February 1st and go work up the street on February 3rd, right? Because they like a better situation. I'm sure that's kind of why some of these things are written in. But in this case, yes, there was two teams that asked. It's public knowledge now. And I would like to talk to them. I want to go to work. I'm a hockey coach. As much as I love being around biz at TNT, I want to get back to work.
I initially was on Bruce Cassidy's side here because I'm like, dude, you just fired him. You can't say now you can't go coach another team. But if I'm Vegas and I'm paying Bruce Cassidy, hell no, I don't want you to go take a job with a division rival of mine, somebody in my conference that I'm going to be paying.
Shouldn't have fired him then.
So that's how I felt. But you've got his rights now till next year. If I'm paying a guy, I've got his rights.
Can I interest you in a fifth-round pick for the rights, please?
Hey, we can talk about that.
Yeah, can I give you like a
you want to give me something?
Bag of sticks and some pucks or something like that? Yeah, can we do something different here?
Where do you side on this? Because I felt the same way. Like, you shouldn't have fired him. Yeah. But that's worked out for him. But at the same time, I get it. If you're Vegas, you
must
are
not
have
an offset
here.
In his contract.
No, he does
it's
not.
It's crazy they'd rather pay him $4.5 million a year to not coach than perhaps not have to pay him at all and he can go coach somewhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, you're never really going to boohoo for somebody who's going to sit there and collect $4.5 million a year for not having to do anything, right? I mean, let's just be real. He's making $4.5 million to not do anything. So, I mean, I guess he knew what he signed up for, right? I mean, it's different if they're not paying him and for whatever reason he's not allowed to go coach. That would be ridiculous. But he's making $4.5 million a year.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I'm not wiping
checks
those
are
tears,
nice,
bro. Yeah. $4.5 million a year. It's all gravy, man.
Unless he feels like that if he sits out a year, that he won't get a job.
There's always that risk.
He's thinking that maybe that I got to strike while the iron's hot. You know, I mean, I know I just got let out, but, you know, and probably people are looking at his team like, I would look at his team like, dude, were you the problem? Why is this your team in the Stanley Cup Finals? I'd be a little bit. You got to think about yourself. Like, if I need to coach, because I might not get opportunities if I sit out. You know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he wants to jump back in.
But we've lost respect for the contract, haven't we? Like, I don't like my contract. I don't want to be here. But I also made this commitment to you that I now want to crawfish on, and that should be okay with the world. Woe is me. You know, it's not a contract. It's a competitive environment. You're getting $5 million a year. I'm with Chief.
Okay, now the last thing I wanted to get to here is we had a New York woman. She goes to a bar.
Is this a joke?
Nope. She tries to pay her tab with her ex's American Express card via Apple Pay. So I guess the ex never took the card off of her phone. It's still logged in via the Apple Pay.
What a schmo move to upload your card onto her phone as we start this off.
So now she has gone viral with her and her friend. There was a video of them at the bar. They're like, "Pang, will this go through? Will this go through?" And then boom, it does. And then they celebrate. And they rack up a nice amount on this guy's tab.
How nice.
We don't have the exact number.
But you know they went hard. As soon as you find out that first swipe worked.
Yeah. And the first set of drinks, I mean, it looked like these two were getting ready to party hardy.
And they're in New York. These are like $30 cocktails.
You can dispute these charges, can't we?
It can't be cheap. Yeah, technically he could dispute the charges.
Absolutely dispute the charges.
Absolutely. He should. Absolutely
could. It's from a stolen card.
But fair.
There you go.
I mean, like, what do we think?
No, not fair. What do you mean, fair?
If your ex leaves their info on your phone.
Listen, it's not a Netflix thing, right?
Is it fair game?
Your Netflix password. Guess what? I'm not paying $15 a month. I'm using your Netflix. It's not screwing you in any way. You still get to watch Netflix. I watch Netflix. Who cares? Okay. This is the credit card. I leave my credit card at your house, and now you're going to start swiping it? Absolutely not.
It's the
thievery. Hard foul.
Yeah.
That's like technical foul.
I thought this was pretty
dirty.
That's
flagrant. That's a flagrant too. You're ejected, and we're calling you a bleep hole for the rest of the time.
Maybe we're suspending you a week too.
I'd suspend. Yeah, slap hell yeah, suspension.
Definitely challenge it right off the jump.
Yeah. I mean, I would. If I saw those charges go through, I'd be like, what the hell is this? We're making a call to, you know, the American Express or wherever the heck it is.
But usually, like you say, do you guys have alerts on your cards?
Yeah. Yeah, if my wife spends a certain dollar figure, I know immediately.
Yeah, you should.
No.
And I didn't tell her what that dollar figure is.
I trust my wife.
She'll split it up into two swipes. Yeah. You know what I mean? She'll double swipe that thing.
Doesn't that seem a little criminal? Like, isn't that stealing?
Yeah,
I would say that
ultimately,
stealing.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
I think I'm calling the local police department, and then I'm calling Visa, you know, denying the charges.
Screw this woman.
See what we can do. We got the C-Note coming up next. Cowboys news of the evening. We'll take a look at draft-eligible quarterbacks entering this college football season and more. Krusty's Corner is going to look at Soresby 340 here for you. And we're back with more sports on the Fan.